Hello, I'm Dr. Linda Chin, lead servant and founder of Linda Chin Ministries Institute of Biblical Studies, where our mission is to enlighten, renew, and transform minds that lead to fruitful living. Today, I want to talk about sitting in judgment. I want you to sit in judgment today, and our topic is examine yourself, prove yourself, know yourself. Our foundational scripture is 2 Corinthians chapter 13, where the Apostle Paul is defending his apostleship to his critics. And so he gives them some instructions to examine themselves. Now, because Paul preached for free, the Bible tells us that in 2 Corinthians 11:7, meaning he didn't charge anything, they assumed that was proof that his speech wasn't worth anything, even though the Bible tells us that a workman is worthy of his or her hire in Luke 10:7, Matthew 10:10, and 1 Timothy 5:18. And so the Corinthians criticized Paul's apostleship and demeaned his physical stature and appearance. And not only were they being judgmental, but they were being cruel. And we can do that oftentimes just being judgmental. I was sitting in a service, and as the messenger was bringing forth the word, the person next to me said, "Ooh, I like him." And I couldn't help but think to myself, God really doesn't care whether or not you like his chosen vessels. You know, we're not in service to judge God's servant. It is ours to judge whether the word is truth or not, the Bible tells us that about the Bereans, and then also to let the word judge us. Romans 14:4 makes it clear for us, it's not for us to judge. And the Bible says that you don't judge another man's servant in Romans 14:4. I knew what she meant, and some of you are probably thinking, well, it was a harmless statement. But I would submit to you that it really isn't a harmless statement, because the minute a preacher or teacher or speaker or Sunday school teacher says something that we don't like, that we don't understand or don't agree with, then the next statement out of our mouths could be, well, I don't like him or her. Again, we are sitting in judgment. So this is Paul. He was defending himself, and they gave themselves great credit, his critics did, because of their skill in learning and in their language skills. And as most men do who are wise in their own eyes, they made wrong and ungodly assumptions. In fact, he was saying they judged and criticized Paul. They criticized even his style. His letters, they said, were weighty and powerful, but his bodily presence was weak. In other words, you know, he was unimpressive to them, and that they said his speech was contemptible. That's 2 Corinthians 10:10, meaning it was worthless. But the fact is, he was saying that they used themselves as their own standard. And scripture clearly lets us know that we are not our own plumb line. We're not our own standard. So Paul, you know, after having wrenched, if you will, the sword of judgment from their hands, he points it back at them. And he says to them in 2 Corinthians 13, verse 5, King James Version, he says, "Examine yourselves whether you be in the faith. Prove your own selves. Know ye not your own selves, how that Jesus Christ is in you, except you be reprobates." Except you be reprobates. And so I want to read it to you also from the Message Bible. And that is 2 Corinthians 13 and verse 5. And it reads like this, 2 Corinthians 13 and verse 5. "Test yourselves to make sure you are solid in the faith. Don't drift along, taking everything for granted. Give yourselves regular checkups. You need firsthand evidence, not mere hearsay, that Jesus Christ is in you. Test it out. If you fail the test, do something about it." And then he says, "I hope that test doesn't show that we have failed. But if it comes to that, we'd rather the test show our failure than yours. We're rooting for the truth to win out in you. We couldn't possibly do otherwise." And so again, he is encouraging them, in fact, demanding that they examine themselves. He's exhorting them to do that. And so what does it mean to examine ourselves? And we're going to talk about that today in part one. But what does it mean to examine ourselves? So One, I want to encourage us, let's not judge anybody, but rather validate the word through your own study. Our religion should be able to extend examination. If your religion or what you believe in can't stand examination, then it cannot stand against proof. All our religions look good when we, you know, when we're shouting it out, and it sounds great when we're real caring and friendly with people and when we're hugging people in parking lots. But what happens when the bread of adversity comes? And so what does it mean to examine yourself? So to examine, it means to interrogate. How often do you interrogate your motives? How often do you interrogate why you said something or why you feel a certain way or why you believe a certain thing? It means to scrutinize. And so we need to scrutinize our own behavior. We need to scrutinize why we think we can judge somebody. It means to investigate. How often do we investigate why we believe what we believe? Or how often do we really dig in deep and say, why did I say that about that person? Or why do I feel a certain way? And sometimes we can't explain our feelings. And, you know, sometimes we'll say something told me, even when the Spirit of God is warning us about something. But it is important to examine ourselves. It also means to test yourself. Go through the rank and file of your actions and examine all of your motives. And that's important to do on a regular basis. I'll give you an example. There's even when you're feeling a little different about your job, some people start to get tired or weary in their positions after a certain amount of time. I don't know if it's week, months, years, whatever it is. But you need to examine why your feelings change. Why do your feelings change about a certain person? Why has your attitude changed? Sometimes we're not feeling well in our bodies, but it is good to examine ourselves. So we're talking about examining and proving and knowing ourselves, right? So to examine yourself, it also means, we're breaking down what examine means. We're breaking down what it means to examine. To examine, we said, means to interrogate. It means to scrutinize. It means to investigate. And it means to test. So what does interrogate? It's exactly what it is. It is questioning. It's to ask questions closely and to ask questions thoroughly. Now, if you're scrutinizing yourself, it is to examine in detail with careful or critical attention. You know how it is when you get dressed up, you're going somewhere special, like to a wedding or to a bar mitzvah or to a service or a celebration. We examine ourselves in detail and with careful and critical attention. You know, a gentleman may make sure he examines really carefully to make sure his tie is straight or to make sure his mustache is trimmed carefully. And women are making sure that every hair is in place, things of that nature. To scrutinize is to examine in detail with careful or critical attention. To scrutinize is to inspect critically. Now, we get upset when other people even give us constructive criticism. But to scrutinize yourself is to observe with great care, to examine with accuracy for the intent of verification of authenticity. How real are you with people? How often do you scrutinize your responses to people and really authenticate your transparency with people? It is important to examine ourselves. And this is exactly what Paul says. He says it again, 2 Corinthians 13:5. This is a New American Standard Version. He said, in verse 1, it's the third time I'm coming to you. But in verse 5, he says, test yourselves to see if you are in the faith and examine yourselves. Or do you not know or recognize this about yourselves, that Jesus Christ is in you, unless indeed you fail the test? So he's telling them, test yourself. How do we take, you know, we're testing ourselves. What does it mean? Again, it is critical examination. It is observation. Do you observe how you do something? Do you observe how you wash dishes? Or do you observe your behavior in front of your children? Do you observe your words and what you're doing in front of those who are watching you and watching you closely? That's a good question, right? So we're talking about scrutinizing ourselves to examine with accuracy for the intent of verification and or authenticity. Now, you also examining yourselves means to investigate yourself. Now, an investigation, if you were a detective, a police officer, or if you were a fire officer, if you work for the fire department, they investigate fire and causes of fire. You have insurance investigators. Investigation is a systematic inquiry. Anytime you would see a detective, or if you're looking at a fire marshal or an insurance investigator, they have a system. They do a systematic inquiry to search out and examine the particulars of an attempt to learn the facts about something that may be hidden. Now, this is important, as it all is, but this is important because we often ask God to show me my heart. God, show me myself. Show me my heart. Try my thoughts. Know me. Prove me. Test me. But the fact of the matter is, you want to know what's hidden in you. And oftentimes, you don't know what's in you until you're backed up against a wall, until you're made very angry, until you become very afraid, until you become very protective, like as of over a child or over possessions. It is to investigate the uniqueness or complexity of something. You know, if we are seeing somebody doing something, we often mimic people. But if you're going to investigate yourself, how about you investigate your uniqueness? God made all of us to be unique. He made us to be complex. Especially we need to investigate this in an attempt to find a motive, right? To find a cause. Again, we talked about that. Why do we do what we do? It is to discover our calling. You need to ask yourselves a series of questions to help discover your calling. In other words, why you exist. Because even in the secular world, we don't call vocation a calling. We call it a vocation, which is another word for calling. Vocal vocation. It is the reason why you exist or why you live. Because it is very possible and probable for most of us that we become absolutely excellent in things that we're talented in, things we're good at, things that we are skillful at, but we often don't do the investigation to become excellent at what our calling is because we don't take the time to investigate what it is. Investigate why you exist. Now, to examine yourself is also to test yourself. That is a critical examination. It is an observation. Evaluate yourself. Evaluate how you've done. Oftentimes, I will do something that I hate doing. For instance, as a public speaker, I often give out a form and ask people to permit me to record. Either they record or I record. And I do what I hate. I go back and I listen to the recording. I don't like the sound of my own voice. I know that sounds strange, but it is true. But what I'm doing is I am evaluating myself. I'm evaluating my intonation. I'm evaluating my tone of voice. I'm evaluating how confident do I sound about the topic that I'm speaking on. How accurate are my scriptures, for instance, during this podcast, right? So I have to evaluate myself. As a wife, I evaluate how I treat my husband, how I talk to my husband. I do, again, what I hate to do, and I ask him questions. Have I mistreated you in any way this week? Have I spoken to you disrespectfully? Have I dishonored you? I'm looking for an evaluation. And that's the one thing we run from when we're evaluating ourselves. We love to create evaluations for other things and other people, but we do not test or evaluate ourselves. Another thing testing is, when you're testing yourself, is it's a procedure of submitting a statement, right? You submit a statement to such conditions that will lead to its proof. I'm submitting statements proving that this is why I evaluated you or yourself the way that you have. Our responses and reactions are a test in and of themselves. So if you're asking for an evaluation and you're hearing something that you don't particularly care for, your response is an evaluation. It tells you that you need to interrogate why you responded the way that you did. It is also, to test is to pose a series of questions. You know, like when you're taking a multiple choice test, or when you're taking a yes or no, true or false test, you have got to test yourself. The biggest room in the world is the room for improvement. And it is one thing to say, as I stated before, as the psalmist stated, search me, O God, and know me. and my heart, try me and know my thoughts, and if there be any wicked way in me, lead me in the way everlasting, right? But the bottom line is this, beloved. Jeremiah said in 17, 9 and 10, the heart above all things is wicked. It's desperately wicked. He said, who can know it? And so that's why it is important for us to examine ourselves. It is important for us to examine ourselves, to prove ourselves, and to know ourselves. And in part two, we're going to talk about exactly what that looks like. We talked about what it is. Next, we're going to talk about how to do it. To examine is to interrogate. It is to scrutinize. It is to investigate. And it is to test. And that's what we need to do of ourselves. That's what the Apostle Paul was telling his critics to do. So, beloved, I hope you got something out of this podcast that we need to examine ourselves, prove ourselves, and know ourselves. Again, my name is Dr. Linda Chin. I am the lead servant and founder of Linda Chin Ministries Institute of Biblical Studies, where our mission is to enlighten, renew, and transform minds. We can be reached at info@lindachin.com. That is info, I-N-F-O, at L-I-N-D-A-C-H-I-N-N.com. Until next time, beloved, be well.